Okay. There was a good analogy this morning. The battery ran flat. And I'm preaching on prayer. And if we pray, the battery will never go flat. But if we don't pray, have you heard that story about the guy said his grandmother said to him one day, she said, in life, either you healthy or you sick. Have you heard that story? She said, if you're healthy, you've got nothing to worry about. But if you're sick, you've got two things to worry about. Either you get better, you get worse. If you get better, you've got nothing to worry about. If you get worse, you've got two things to worry about. Either you live or either you die. If you live, you've got nothing to worry about. If you die, you've got two things to worry about. Either you go to heaven or you go to hell. If you go to heaven, you've got nothing to worry about. But if you go to hell, I won't. There are two things to worry about. Either regular or crispy. My name is Jeff. Now, if you've seen those adverts, you know, I'm Maximus Milius Mono, and then there's a ugly little Bruck dog that says, and my name's Jeff. I feel quite offended by that. I'm going to find who did the ad because we want to put that right, don't we, Jeff? Where are you, Jeff? Yeah, we do, Abraham. We can't handle that. Yeah. So I'm also one of the elders, for those of you who don't know, and it's an honor. And last time I preached, Mornay was also here, so I'm beginning to think he's kind of a bit of a fan. I'm saying that humbly because, you know, my humility is the thing I'm most proud of. You know that. So we're still on a journey. We've been journeying from the resurrection day through to what is going to be Pentecost on the 24th of May. And we have been asking ourselves, what did Jesus teach? What did he speak to the disciples about to prepare them for a day that they didn't know what to expect? How was he doing that? And we covered the few little things that he spoke about the kingdom. They spoke about prayer, told them to go and wait. Villy, where's Villy? You did so well last week. There you are. Wait. Learn to wait. Wait. We're not good at waiting. Especially when it comes to the things we think God should give us. And we've got to learn to wait. Jesus said to them, go and wait in the city. Wait. And the other thing they did was that they prayed. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, and you don't have to go there yet. It says they prayed constantly. And here's the thing. Jesus must have had opportunity, and he did, to teach them. And so I want to read a scripture out of Luke 11, which is obviously before Acts. And just to heighten for you the privilege of being able to pray. Because these guys, he was with them. He appeared. Can you imagine we being here, or you, them, and Jesus just suddenly appears. All the doors and the windows are locked, and he says, morning, guys. Yeah. Morning. And then he's gone again. But for 40 days, he appeared and disappeared and reappeared and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and encouraged them and spoke words of life to them. And then on that 40th day, the Bible says they were standing looking up into heaven and he left. And he was gone. And somebody came and said, the men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into the sky? In the same way that you saw him go, he will return. And then they had 10-day wait for something that was called the promise of the Father. But they didn't fully grasp what that was going to be. But they prayed because they knew, if we're not sure about what's coming, we better pray. Can you say amen? So I want to read from Luke chapter 11 and from verse 1 to verse 13. It says this, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say. And I'll stop there. They came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. To pray. Prayer is the privilege of sons and the proof of sonship. The privilege of sons and daughters and the proof of your daughterhood and your sonship. That's prayer. We can speak to the Almighty God. It is an incredible, amazing, glorious, magnificent privilege. If prayer was a commodity that you could package and sell as a commodity with a list of instructions on how to do it, it would be the best seller in the world if you could package it like that. But sometimes we don't appreciate the value of this privilege that we have of being able to speak to God. You ask me, why would it be a bestseller? I'll tell you why, because it always works. Always works. You've bought things, they've got a guarantee. 3 days after the guarantee expires, you go back, they say, no, I'm sorry, there's a guarantee, it's over. Not with prayer. There's a guarantee on prayer that lasts a lifetime. There's a guarantee on prayer that it always works. There are never any comebacks. There's never anybody in the courts of heaven or in a church that we have a little stall saying, for those who want to bring them back, that don't work. They say, people come say, prayer doesn't work. We say, no, go pray some more. It always works. You cannot say prayer doesn't work. It always works. It works best when frequently used. The more you use it, the better it works. Most things you buy today, the more you use it, the more it wears out. Can you say amen? Amen. The guarantee never expired. The only downside is this. Although it is empowered, this gift is empowered by the Holy Spirit, who never has to be recharged. We had to charge up the microphone this morning because there was a red light saying the battery is going flat. We are like rechargeable batteries. We can plug ourselves into the power source and charge. And when we see the red light, it means you haven't prayed. We should never have a red light flashing, prayer, 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 the battery's going flat. No. We have always access to the one who is the charger. He has never got to be recharged. But it's got to be activated. Somebody's got to go to the plug and switch it on. And we have to switch on the prayer plug. And there lies the problem. We forget to put the thing on. Have you ever? We had a leaders meeting years ago in the church I was in, and we were cleaning up afterwards. And one of the ladies was, you know, OCD. Everything had to be perfect. So she got out the vacuum cleaner and she was vacuum. And so the machine was running, but somebody unplugged the little pipe, and she was, and the machine's there, but she's cleaning, and we were just sitting watching. And eventually she clicked with freck, you know. And sometimes that's what prayer's like. We've unplugged ourselves from the power source, and we're going off and doing whatever. Now, we must stay plugged in. It's vital, it's key, it's absolutely essential. Francis Frangipane, not the trees with the lovely smelly flowers, but this guy said this. We're into microwaving. God is into marinating. Who microwaves their meat before they braai? Anybody? Never in Mossel Bay. I mean, I've thrown away every vestige of anything that resembles charcoal. It's out. You're not allowed to use that. Braai with charcoal. This is Mossel Bay, bro. It's wood. By special wood, it's hardwood, makes proper coals. It's important. It's important. We're into marinating. The meat lies there, and we put this sauce and that sauce, and oom Jim se goed and tani Sunny se ander goed, and we put it all together. And it takes time. Prayer takes time. We can't microwave prayers. Stick it in, nuke it, get it back. It's hot, but it's tasteless. It's tasteless. And the prayer God wants us to pray is a prayer full of the life of God. He said, they come to him, they said, Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. They didn't say, teach me a prayer. You know, you have people say, I'll say a little prayer for you. I often think, what does that mean? Say a little prayer. Well, say a big prayer, you ugly thing. Don't say a little prayer, say a big prayer. But what does it mean to say a prayer? Oh, you know, when you see big events and then they stand up and they ask, you know, Senator somebody to pray. And then they get out, you know, and they, I'm not saying it's wrong, but prayer must come from your heart. It must be relational, but they write it out. And then they start, Dear Father in Heaven. There's a story of the late Gerald Ford, who was one of the presidents of America. He asked this guy to pray, and he got up to pray. And he said to the guy praying, he said, speak up, we can't hear you. He said, Mr. President, I wasn't talking to you. God's not deaf. We're not Pentecostals that think that God is deaf. And we've got to wake him, arouse him, because we speak loudly. Not teach us a prayer. Not teach us how to pray. Just teach us to pray. You pray as you can. You don't pray as you can't. Listen to me. You pray as you can. You don't pray as you can't. How do I start praying? Well, when my kids were small, and my wife and I had always had a competition, which one would say Dada first? And no, I'm sure that was Mama. No, there was a D in there, definitely. They learned how to speak. They learned how to communicate with their dad and their mom. Prayer is learning how to communicate with God. Don't make it so flowery. It looks like a rose bush and it's this thorny and prickly. Say it like you know it. Pray as you can. Don't pray as you can't. And you will learn to pray. So they said, teach us to pray. Not what to pray. Not when to pray. Just teach us to pray. They didn't ask Jesus and say, teach us to preach. Teach us how to witness. Teach us what it means to function in the gifts. The first thing they asked him when he was going to leave, teach us to pray. Because prayer is the lifeblood of every single individual Christian. If you don't pray, I've got bad news for you. You're going to die. You are going to die. And then everything that is anything that goes slightly wrong in the life of the church, you are the first person to pick it up. Because you are on short wave and God's on medium wave. Because you're not praying. It is good. I know it's good. Because I've been in the place where I was on short wave and the church was on medium wave and I thought I was right. No, you can't. Yeah, poor me, nobody. No, shh. Pray, you ugly thing, pray. God will raise you up. Teach us to pray. Then he said, when you pray, say, Father. They said, what? Father? Yeah, you say, Father. Oh, my word. They thought, that is ridiculous. Now, Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer is a bit shorter than Matthew's version, which is found in chapter 6, Matthew 6. But it's the same thing. It's known as what's that prayer known as? The Lord's Prayer. These two guys walking along together, friends, and the one says, well, listen, I've been going to church lately, bro. He said, really? Yeah. He said, I've been going to church. And he said, I'm actually enjoying it. He said, I'm learning a few things. He said, okay. He said, like the Lord's Prayer. He said, you are? He said, I'm learning. He said, I'll give you $100 if you can say the Lord's Prayer. God said, you on. He said, okay, go. He said, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And his mate got out the 100 rand. He said, "Geez, I didn't think you'd know it." We must know what's in the book. We must. And it's not a rote prayer. You wake up in the morning, "Our Father, ooh, in heaven, hallowed be your name, your King." Because I'm in a hurry this morning, so you put it on 1.5 speed. You say it, and I've prayed. No, that's not prayer. You're just going through the motions. If I wake up in the morning when my wife was still with me and I say, "Good morning, love, I can't hold it, I'm out of here." She said, whoa, "What did you say? What did you say? Just slow down, darling. Let me, I'm going to be late. I don't care. Speak to me." Wesley woke up one morning and he had a secretary, John Wesley. And he was in his room and he was praying and the secretary knocked on the door and he said, "Excuse me, sir, I just want to tell you we have many appointments today." And Wesley said, "Oh, okay, well then I'll spend another hour praying." They understood the power, the privilege of praying. Jesus didn't give the outline for us just to repeat it, just by rote. I thought I was so clever when I was at school. I learned the Lord's Prayer off by heart. I learned Psalm 121 off by heart. I even knew the shortest verse in the Bible. Which is? Where is it? You see, there you are. You've got to give me chapter and verse. John 11, 35. I knew he cried, but I never knew why. And I'd say to friends, "Jesus wept, bro. That's in the Bible." "Really? Why did he cry?" "I've got no idea." And that's what happens when you just say the Lord's Prayer. Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer as an outline to help us. Jesus didn't give it just to repeat it. He said, When you pray, say, "Father." That's beautiful. I don't know when I started, so it could go for. And the clock's not here. Hallelujah. There's no clock. Do you get it? There's a privilege there on steroids. The privilege of being able to say to God Almighty, "Father, my Father." Have you heard guys, "My Father in heaven," and they flower it up? Jesus just said, "Father. Father, get that into your heart." This God of creation, this God who is above all gods, this God who is the only true and living God, this God, I can say, "Father." It's not soppy and it's strong, it's manly, it's womanly, it's my Father in heaven who sits and watches over the affairs of men. And as Psalm 2 says, he said, "Why do you do that? The kings, they rage as if they can overthrow me." Now, my Father. This is happening. That's happening in the world. I don't care. The Bible tells me we win. We win. I know the end of the book. We win. But there's going to be lots of trouble. That's why you must pray. That's why you've got to have the understanding. I'm going to go through trouble. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. As I said on the day, you don't find those in the promise boxes. You know, the little promise where you, on your way, you get there. In this world, you've done. Oh, no, I'm not going to have that one today. Then you get, whoever wants to live godly in Christ Jesus is going to suffer persecution. Oh, I don't want that one either. I want one. Jesus loves me. No, you ugly thing. Don't just get the words that make it nice for you. Get the words that make you understand there's more to it. We're going to go through difficulties. Who's never had a problem in their life? He's sitting next to you, darling. Either side, I don't know. I'm sorry. But do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Sorry, bro. I'll buy you a coffee. I'll buy you a coffee. I'll buy you a double. We go through challenges. Why do I need to pray? Because I'm faced difficulties. I face challenges. I read the Word of God. It gets into my soul. God gives me hope. I can say, "Father. Lord, I'm sickling today. So-and-so in the church got up my nose like I wanted to hit him. The old man came alive. I wanted to punch him, lights out." And God doesn't go, "Oh, you naughty boy." God says, "Tell me about it. Tell me about it." And he's free. I don't have to pay to tell that to somebody. I can tell it to my God. And he says, "I'll tell you what. This is what you do." And that's free too. Amazing. And that's such a privilege. We don't take advantage of the privilege. In the Old Testament, God is referred to as Father. They differ. Some people say 15, others say 7. But most times, Father is about his authority over the nation. Just put up Deuteronomy. I'm sorry, but he's waiting patiently to put up this verse. Is this the way you repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your Father, your Creator? You're so stupid. Can you be so dumb and still breathe? This is your Creator, your Father. But he's always referred to outside of an intimate situation. And that's how the Jews understood it. That's how the disciples understood. That's how you address God, with reverence. Now, Father doesn't mean we drop the reverence. Father just means we have an access that has been made open. Because Jesus has gone through the heavens and made a new and living way. And he said to them, you say, Father. Shocked them to their core. It's about the authority over the nations in the Old Testament. In the Gospels, Jesus speaks of God as Father over 70 times. He speaks, my Father. He says, you say Father. You know, Peter's writing notes there. He said, I'm going to do a seminar on how to call God Father. Thomas was saying, well, I doubt whether that'll work in our context. No. They were just all ears. Say Father. Because they know now. He said, I'm leaving you. Oh, brother, when you know you're going to get into trouble and you're up to your eyeballs, that's when you pray. But we shouldn't just pray when that's the trouble. We must pray because he is worthy to receive. He wants to. I'll get there. I'm running ahead of myself. In the Gospels, Jesus speaks of God over 70, Father. Revelation 1:8. Here we go, bro. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Is that what it says? Where's Father in there? That there was Father in there. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were born, am I on the right page? I think so. Or before the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. This is who we are addressing as our Father. You are from everlasting to everlasting. Me, I'm from 49 till about 2031, I imagine, if I get some bonus years. I'm just saying. I'm not from everlasting to everlasting, but I speak to him. It's forever. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is your refuge. The eternal God. Forever and ever. If I drew a line from that wall to the back wall, and there was a little like that on that line, that would be our lives in relation to eternity. Our lives are just like a burp in eternity. It's done. And we worry so much about now. No, I'm preparing myself for then. I'll be very personal. This morning, it's Mother's Day. I've got two daughters-in-law, and a grandchild who's pregnant, soon to be a mother. So I sent them all a message. And I got quite emotional. Because, you know, it's Mother's Day. I remembered back, and you remember things. But tough. What did I do? Go into the slough of despond, come to church like a miserable old grumpy old git. Nobody cares for me. No, I prayed because I knew my Father. He took her because he needed her for whatever reason. I don't know why, but because his ways are not my ways and his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I trust him. And at those times when he gave me scriptures, I could pray them and it gave me hope. I'm not a miserable old thing. I do get miserable sometimes, but usually I'm okay. This holy, righteous, perfect one, he says, call me Father. Do you think that's a privilege? Look at these verses. Psalm 18, verse 35. This is phenomenal. Just the last bit. You stoop down to make me great. I mean, that is just mind-blowing. Think of that. God stoops down to you in your need. God bends the knee to you, to me. That's what the psalmist says. You stoop down. and you lift me. You make me great. What great? Not great in the world's sight. Not great in what people think. I can do this. I can do it. I've got lots of money. Listen, your money's going to die with you. Can't take it. You heard about the guy that said he had this gold bar and he wanted to take it so badly. They put it in his coffin. He died. He ended up in heaven with his gold thing. And Peter welcomed him at the gate. He said, oh, you brought a paving stone for us. Thank you very much. That's what God reminded me this morning. My wife loved to dance. I have one regret. That I never danced with her more often. You might think that's weird. But, you know, you're at home and just put music on. You just dance. She loved. We dance. In our socks, we dance. I regret I didn't dance more. But then this morning, I thought, no, hang on. She is dancing on the streets that are golden. And she's not thinking of me. Definitely not. Because heaven, she gets it now. She sees it. Me, I'm still, you can read the books, you can read the Bible. We don't know what it's going to, but I can get to my Father. And he puts life in me. Gives me the hope one day. Then I thought, well, when I get there, I'll say, how's it? Because Jesus will be my all in all. And if he doesn't become your all in all now, you're not praying. Jesus must be our all in all. He must be everything. Because all the treasures, and I looked up the Greek word for all. It says all. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in him. Wisdom and knowledge in Jesus. Okay, let me quickly do the Lord's Prayer. Oh, no, wait, Psalm 25. This is a beaut. This is a beaut. The Lord confides in those who fear him. God tells you secrets. Do you want to know something? I'll tell you a secret. What are those? Those are words God gives you to encourage and help other people. I want a prophetic word. Confide in him. And he will share with you. Come to church. Give me words of knowledge. Give me one. No, just confide. Then he'll speak to you and you'll have a word. That's why it says this prophetic word must strengthen, encourage, and what? Edify. Don't come and say, thus saith the Lord. You're going to die, you ugly thing. I know I'm going to die. But God wants to lift me up. The Lord confides in those. He makes his covenant known to them. Ooh. This is privilege. This is a privilege. But we don't use the privilege like we should. Hallowed be your name. Let's quickly go. That's reverence. So I'm going to just break it up. I'm not going to pray it. Just break it up. Hallowed be. And what's that? Do you come, Father? Oh, Father, Father in heaven, this glorious God. Reverence. Your kingdom come. Oh, he's got all the power in the world. Your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Your will be done. I submit. Oh, I don't like that. Well, my kids, you say, I don't like that. I'd say, I don't care. I pay the rent. I buy the food. I'm your dad. I pay everything. You are in this house. You listen to me. It's not your house. It's my house. When you're older, you get your own house. You can tell your kids to do the same. But until then, you're under my authority. Now, God is not like us. The Bible says, what does the Bible say? If we are evil and know how to give good things to our children, how much more will he not give the Spirit to them that ask? Why the Spirit? So that he can lead us into all the truth. Today, there's a lack of discipline. I'm saying it amongst families. We need to sort our kids out, man. They don't own the show. We do. We've paid the price. Jesus paid the price for us. And so when I go to him and he says to me, look, there's this area. When he's confiding in me. And I say, me? Me? Yeah, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. I don't like that. If you do that, I'll do that. Oh, really? Yeah, I'll do that. But I can't hear the voice if I'm not confiding. Give us each day our daily bread. I depend on you, God. I'm dependent. Forgive us. Forgive us. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know. They don't know. People do horrible things to people. And people get hurt. Especially in church. Jesus never hurt anybody. Never. It's the people. And the people do it because you know why? We're not walking closely with him. We have our own opinions. Do not rely on your own understanding. Don't do that. I don't care if you've got so many degrees, you look like a thermometer. You can have psychology, psychiatry, whatever you like. But if you don't have Jesus by the Spirit, don't come and give me your wisdom. I want the wisdom from God. And I've accessed him for free. I don't have to make an appointment. I can come anytime. I'm getting carried away. Lead us. Humility. Yours is the kingdom. Confidence. Yours is the kingdom. And the power. Woohoo! I'm triumphant. I know the end result. We're going to win the war. And the glory. Joy unspeakable. Lastly, God is very willing to answer prayer. Can I just read this bit? Gina, can you put it up from verse 5? Now, he said, this is how you pray. Then he said this. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, brew, so I'm paraphrasing, lend me 3 loaves, not 1 loaf, 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. The one inside says, don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children are in bed with me, and I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he's his friend, yet because of the man's boldness or his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and you will be given. It will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, there it is, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? Now that little parable comes straight after Jesus saying, this is how you pray. This is, you teach us to pray. You pray, you say, Father. This is the outline. I'll tell you what, if you do it properly, you can't get away with it under an hour. You can't. Just won't. Because you think, reverence, oh my word. The reverence, God, Almighty God. Hallowed be your name, oh God. Let your name be magnified. That's what we're praying for. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Where am I? I'm nearly there. I'm going to use the famous Josh Jen statement to say, I'm coming into land. I often crash land, but I'm coming down. Here's the thing. We're not talking about some grumpy, sleepy, miserable old guy who's got woken up, and eventually, because of the man's persistence and because the guy is actually a bit the zig, he thinks, oh, geez, get up, kids, just... Darling, where's the bread? I don't know. I put it in the bread. I'm coming now, man. Just, yes, bro. But because of his persistence, he gives him the bread. And the guy says, thank you very much. Because in the Middle Eastern culture at that time, if somebody arrived at your house and you didn't have bread for him, it was not good etiquette to not give him something to eat. So this guy, who's got no bread and he's got his friend, thinks, oh, I'll go to my neighbor. I know him. I'll go next door. Is it? Are you awake? Yeah. Listen, Bru. No, Bru, I'm sorry, man. We're in bed, you know. I'm sorry. No, but, you know, I've got a friend. So the guy in the house begins to realize if he doesn't give this guy bread, he will begin to be seen in the village as that guy who never gave bread as was part of their culture. And then he'll walk in the street and say, there he is. There he is. Al-Haimi. Never gave that bread. Can you believe it? He never even gave it. He didn't give him 1 loaf, Bru. Nothing. Didn't even get out of bed. So he gets a name. There's a shift from verse 5 through, and then in verse 11, he says this, which of you fathers, if you have a son? So he's saying, there's this neighbor. He's just the neighbor. He's just the guy next door. He's not related. He's the neighbor. And he said, but which of you fathers, if you have a son, if your son asks, Jesus shifts the focus of understanding. It's not a neighbor, it's our sons. He's teaching us something. The Lord Jesus is not being compared to that grumpy old git next door that doesn't want to get out of bed. And, you know, we're praying. And, Lord, I tell you, I have to have it. You know. Of course God knows. God's not like the grumpy old guy that won't get out of bed. No, he's not being compared to that. He's being contrasted to the neighbor. He said, this is what the neighbor will be like. This is what you'll knock. You know, eventually you'll get it. But for me, you my son, which of you, if you have a son, will give him a stone when he asks you for bread? Well, not one of us. If you do, come speak to me. I'll give you an AAK and I'll pray for you. An AAK is an attitude adjustment club. Because that's not a fatherly thing. You want to help your children. That's what Jesus is saying. There's a change of focus. Jesus is not being compared with his neighbor. I'm spuch, freslich, so. He is being contrasted. He is saying this. If a grumpy, sleepy, reluctant neighbor, on the basis of friendship and social etiquette, meets the needs of a friend, how much more will he not meet the needs of his children? Amen. That's what he's saying. So don't go to God, you know, like... All that the friend was, Jesus wasn't and isn't. You can go to him anytime. Psalm 121 says in verse 3 and 4. Did I give that to you? I didn't give it to you. It's on the, you must read the card, bro. You know, these guys on the AV, and I'm joking, that'll be taken all the wrong way. People say, shame, you know what he said to the guy on the AV, I'm joking. I know where the Psalms are. I'll read it. What's Psalm 121, 3 and 4 say? He won't let your foot slip. I'll tell you a stupid story. I went for a walk. I go walking. So I go to the point, and I'm there in that car park below the cave. Now I'm finding all these things out. You go up there, and, you know, there's food up there. Dussies by the hundreds. If you eat dussies, I'm just saying. So I go up, I have a little walk, I come back, come down the stairs, because they say when you get older, stairs are good for your legs. So if you're older, climb stairs. So I'm looking there, I'm standing, I see, oh, there's some stairs that go down here. And then what's the place where they swim down the bottom there? The poort. I think, I'll just go down here. So I get down, and then the stairs go. And then somebody says from the top, they were washed away in the storm. So now I'm a bit of a vinty. I'm not going to go back. No, I don't care if the stairs are washed. I'm going to go there. He will not let your foot slip. Didn't work for me. It didn't work for me. So I put my pride in the little pocket that I had with me and climbed back out and got on the stairs. And this guy was just standing at the top watching, saying, "Yo, dum dum." I could just see it. But the Bible says he won't let your foot slip. What does that mean? He'll keep you. He'll protect you. He'll guard you. And then it says this, he who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I don't have to go and wake God. Excuse me, Lord. Wait, Lord. Boo, boo. Lord. Nah. Our God is waiting for us. That's the contrast he's trying to make to help us understand. His door is never shut. He is never put out when we ask him for help. Yes, Jeff again. Grief, bro. How many times a day? Well, I'm in need. He never asks that. Always come. Let's talk. Privilege. Privilege. We must take advantage of the privilege of prayer. We must remember Hebrews 4:16. Did I give you that? See, it was there. Because the psalm came before that. I'm joking. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. What confidence do I have? That Jesus paid the price for me to enter into the throne room of the Father. I have no merit of my own. I pray it regularly. The older I get, the more I'm aware of there's nothing good in me. Nothing. And people don't like you saying that. Say that about me. I'm not a bad guy. Let me read you something. There is no one righteous. That's what the Bible says. Not even one. There's no one who understands. What are you talking about? So the Bible says, no one who seeks God. You haven't got this. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There's no one who does good. Not even one. That's Romans 3. Paul's trying to explain what the value is of knowing Jesus. The benefits, we joke, we say, the benefits are out of this world. It's not a pension scheme. The benefits are for now, so that I can become what God wants me to be for Him, for the people that we serve, for the people that I know. I can't love like Jesus loved, so I ask Him regularly, Lord, pour Your love into my heart, so that the love I love people with is Your love. Because my love's wishy-washy, the thing dries up, it's muddy, it's got tadpoles and ugly things. Now, let the love of God overwhelm you. Pray, keep asking. But then we must be careful. This is what James says in chapter 4, verse 3. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives. That you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Oops. We have such an incredible privilege. Maybe there's some, and there will be, sorry, who you've been praying for a specific thing for a long time, and you feel, Lord, could be a child or a relative that you've been praying for their salvation. And you don't give up. Don't give up. The devil says to you, look, it'll never work. The devil puts doubt. What did he say to Eve? Did God really say? Are you sure? Yeah, I wonder if God. No, the Bible says, if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. Promise. That is privilege. That is privilege. But don't go with the wrong motive and just come humbly before God. Oh, come, I say, God, there's no good. I have no merit of my own. But Father, thank you that you sent your Son. He's made a way. And I can come and sit. And you can minister to me. Prayer. There are others that you say today, you know, I hardly ever pray. Well, I've got news for you. This morning, Jesus wants to teach you to pray. Not me. Him, by the Spirit. We're gonna pray for you that God will teach you to pray. Not how to, what to, when to, nothing. Not a prayer. He's going to teach you to pray. And He said, when you pray, you say, Father. Oh. You know, when your kids come and they've done this, Dad, young boy, Dad, there's something, what did you do? Because fathers know. You know, I scratched the car. They're waiting now. What do you mean? My response, well, it's just a car. We can fix it. Fortunately, you're okay. You serious, Dad? Yeah. You see, in the old covenant, if I did wrong, I thought, I must put this right. My God, my Father's going to get me. Under the new covenant, I've done something wrong. I come to Him, and He comes to me. He's my Father now. And He says, let's talk about it. You did that? You know what? You say, there's a way out. I confess my sin because He is faithful and just to forgive me my sin. And I go free. Amen.